a lot of things have changed. One is staff. The past directors are no longer here. A lot of staff has changed. Certainly the economics of Bloomington have changed. The council has changed. So in a lot of ways, we're using that as some background information, but for the most part, we're starting over. We really want to see where the city of Bloomington and where this community wants to go and is going to go over the next 15 years. But we want to make sure that we're realistic as we go along.
So it's a blueprint for the next 15 years.
Absolutely.
What are some specific goals that a master plan should try to accomplish, or maybe some problems a master plan could solve for the community?
One of the things we're going to get out of this is almost a park-by-park master plan, in essence. So we're going to go to a park, say Miller Park, and it's going to say, we have this, 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 and this. Here's the strengths. Here's some things we need to work on. Here's some challenges. Here's some capital projects. Here's some projects in general. And what comes up every so often is we'll get a grant like Miller Park is on Route 66. So a grant came available. We could do stuff on through Route 66 grant. So we go into and we figure out, okay, what does Miller Park need? Well, this plan's going to tell us. And then we can look at, does this project qualify? Because we're always looking for outside funding. We know the city of Bloomington is not going to be able to fund all of our projects, so we're always looking for outside, whether that's private foundations, public, federal, whatever it is, we're always looking for outside money. So this will help us find those projects we want to do, and when money becomes available, we'll be able to jump on those.
Should the next master plan, or how should the next master plan mesh with the city's comprehensive plan?
It absolutely needs to mesh. We want to make sure that there was so much time and energy spent on that, and that's and Parks and Rec had a small piece of that of reviewing it and giving comments. We that's a big part of this. We want to make sure that we have parks in certain areas that the comp plan says we should. First of all, for new parks, one is we're going to be looking at what are some barriers that stop people from enjoying certain parks, like. You know, veterans, we know, is a barrier. We know Towanda Barnes was a barrier. We built Eagle View Park. So that those neighbors did not have to cross Towanda Barnes, which is not safe. I'm not too far from that area, so I understand that's not a safe road for little kids to cross.
But, of course, if I live on the west side of Towanda Barnes, I can't get to that park very easily either.
And that's where Bittner comes close in. Tipton's not too far. But, yeah, we're going to look at a lot of that of – yes, the park may be a mile from your house, but can you actually get there? Is there something blocking you from getting there? So that's one of the ways the comp plan and the parks plan will mesh.
The city's comp plan quotes data showing that between 2007 and 2009, about 63% of all adults in McLean County were overweight or obese, and the numbers have only increased. When I was talking about what sort of goals a master plan, a parks master plan, might be able to accomplish, could it work on this kind of problem? Could the master plan take on that obesity issue in some way?
Absolutely. You know, the Constitution Trail is not going to be a major part of this, but we'll be asking those kind of questions. You know, is there a part of the parks plan where maybe we need to link two parks together through a trail? Or there's an area near Tipton where if we put a trail in there, it could create a completely off-road 5K. So events can then come to Tipton, and we don't have to worry about closing streets. That saves money. That's safe. There's things like that. Obviously, we want to get people outside to enjoy our parks. And what are some things, what are some amenities people would like to see that would get us there?
Also, according to the comp plan, there are 9 acres of parks per 1,000 residents, and that falls approximately 75 acres short of the 10 acres per 1,000 residents. So as the city is seeking public input, are you considering expanding, or it sounds like you are, you're looking at expanding or adding new parks and at least making sure there are connections between parks?
Yeah, we actually have 5 parks that are undeveloped right now that land is there for us. In most of those cases, we're already maintaining the land. It's just not a developed park. Westwood Park is an example where there's a sign that says Westwood Park and we mow it. That's it. That's all that's there. We're working at maybe at some picnic tables, just things like that, that people will start enjoying. And even though we haven't developed it, like a playground, trails, those kind of things.
Where is that park?
Westwood's is pretty close. The closest is Prairie Vista Golf Course.
Okay,
it's in that area.
Sure.
So we do have newer areas. Sweeney Park, which is over by off of Towanda Barnes, it's not too far from McGraw, actually, is an area that we have now. But we just don't have the money to put in a park yet. So we have some areas that we already have the land as part of the parkland dedication. When a developer comes in and builds a subdivision, they have to give us either money or land. And so that's a lot of most of how parks were developed. We have 38 parks in Bloomington.
And maybe it's good to point out at this point for people who are budget hawks, this isn't a spending plan. It's a plan to sort of develop the parks as money becomes available,
absolutely,
as grants become available.
Yeah, money will not be part of the plan. Obviously, we're going to keep in mind what economics are and what the financial status of Bloomington is. But yeah, this is here's some things we need to do when money becomes available. We're prepared, and we know what's our priorities.
You mentioned Constitution Trail. That may be one of the community's most loved parks, even though people may not think of it as a park. But you said this isn't going to deal much with the master plan wouldn't deal much with the Constitution Trail. Why?
The big part, that's a whole huge, another monster's not the right word, but that would stretch the money we had available for a plan. We pretty much do a Constitution Trail plan separate, and Public Works has a big part of that as much as we do. So we're going to dive into little pieces, but when it comes to the overall trail, it's too big for us to handle right now. We have not had a master plan done in 20 years. That's our focus for this right now.
And I assume that any future trail plan or the current trail plan, again, like the comp plan, would mesh with the Parks and Rec plan.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The next plan will help identify trends. What do current trends say about golf?
Golf is struggling. And right now, we're lucky that our three golf courses, from an operational standpoint, pay for themselves. And that's not true for every golf course in the country. We're very, we had the discussion about a year ago with our city council about the possibility of outsourcing all of our golf courses or closing. It came back with a resounding yes, we want three golf courses, and yes, we want them run by the city. So not a ton will be talked about the master plan in terms of golf. Some things like land management is going to come up quite a bit. That's something that I have a priority for me.
What do you mean by land management?
For example, areas that are not used for golfers. It's maybe on the very edge of the perimeter. We're mowing that. We're treating that. There's opportunity there to do a couple things. One is do no-mow, where we literally don't mow it, but 2-3 times a year. That saves our resources. We could do something where we want to do across the whole city. And all these are across the whole city, really. We manage over 1,000 acres. If it's green and it's on city property, the Parks, Rec, and Cultural Arts Department manages it. So could we change some places into pollinator gardens, which actually save us money in the long term? For every 60 acres of turf we take out of use, saves us about $85,000 a year. So there's a lot of places that we go and mow. It actually takes longer to take the mower off the trailer and hook it back up than to actually mow it. And we have hundreds of places like that across the city. So if we turn those into pollinator gardens like we did, we planted one this year, West Oakland. It's the Swear Bridge going over the train tracks. We took a section there. We've got signs up so people can see it, and we've turned that into a pollinator garden.
Is there a big butterfly there as well?
There was.
Okay.
The big butterfly, and my guy surprised me when they built that. That is going to be a symbol to our citizens of a butterfly garden's coming, and that we'll plant that within the year. And this section was, it's on a pretty steep slope since it's a bridge. And when it's wet, it's semi-dangerous for my guys. So that was one of the first places we picked out. So once that's established, we won't have to mow that anymore.
How is that different than prairie restoration? Or is it close?
It's very similar. It's a little more expensive, not by much. You want to burn those areas more. So maybe residential areas may not be key for that. But every time we can take turf out of the equation, it saves us money over the long haul. And it's the better thing from a conservation standpoint.
Any other trends? Is that a trend that's happening nationwide?
It is, not as much as far as we're taking it, because we're looking at across the entire city, not just in our parks.
Any other trends you think might surface as a result of going through this process developing the master plan?
I think still getting people outside. I think people, a trend is pulling back a little bit from a capital perspective, is what I'm hearing from my cohorts. There's just not the money out there that there used to be. Economies are struggling in different communities, and we're no exception to that. So I think it's having a more clear-cut, almost maybe a business approach, maybe the right way to say that, is if we're doing certain programming, but three people show up and we lose money, should we be spending that much of our resources towards a program that's not well attended or we lose money on? And we want to make sure we're a community of events for everybody. That's a big thing for me. No matter how much money you have, we want you to be able to enjoy the parks and enjoy our programming. But we also have to make sure we're keeping an eye on our bottom line, too.
This process will also evaluate current facilities. In fact, the first meeting on Tuesday, July 11th, is focused on O'Neill Park and Pool. Can you assess this facility for us, and what sort of opportunities exist to update this area?
Sure. This is a pool that every single year my guys tell me in April or May if we can open it. I mean, we're at that point. It is an aluminum pool. Aluminum pools are built to last about 25 years. That's their lifespan. We just opened our 43rd year. There is nothing there I would salvage.
You got your money's worth.
We have definitely got our money's worth. And it shows how hard our guys work to keep things going. Because we know this is not a cheap fix.
I mean, can you repair an aluminum pool if it gets a crack or a leak?
We have. We actually, Holiday Pool is another example. It's an aluminum pool, 25-year lifespan. It's in year 43. What you see above the pool at Holiday is new. Everything underground is old. So we have actually, last summer, we actually had to take 19 tons of sand, put it in the deep end to push it back down, cut the aluminum, and then re-weld it.
Hmm.
That's not uncommon for us. So it has definitely lived out its lifespan, and that's a community. O'Neill's is a park that definitely needs to have things for kids to do, and actually is set up being close to the interstate of getting people to come in off the interstate and get people in the town.
So you could have a tourist destination if there's an aquatic center and it's the right kind and it draws people in.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things
you're looking at.
That O'Neill becomes more of a destination park.
So that's why it has its own lazy river?
The lazy river could definitely be consideration, slides, a wave pool. All these things are going to come up, and that's why we're having these meetings. What do we want? What are the experts who are going to evaluate all the pools within probably a couple hours of us? What could draw people into the community? But at the same time, looking at what will revenue be? What will be our expenses to operate? What will it cost to build? But we'll redo that park. That's why it has its own separate meeting.
The following meeting on Thursday is an overall meeting of sorts focused on the master plan. Sounds like a big meeting, a lot to cover, parks, facilities, programs, and services.
It is. It is something that this is one of many opportunities for our citizens to give us feedback. But this is one where we're bringing everybody together, talking it out. Some people may hear an idea and like it. Maybe they could twist it a little bit, make it better. But just an opportunity for them to give feedback back to us over everything that we do.
The last meeting in the series is August 3rd. The Recreational Center public meeting. Is the Lincoln Leisure Center meeting the community needs today?
The needs, no. Do we get by with it right now? Yeah, but are we providing everything that we probably should be? No. It's a school from the 30s. We had asbestos that we had to take care of a few years ago. It's not air-conditioned. And for a lot of our programs, like SOAR, which is our special needs group, some of them have health concerns. Being in a gym that's not air-conditioned is not necessarily good for their health. But a lot of times we still use it because it's all we have. So a rec center will be something, it might be 10 years from now. But it'll show what is the need. What should that facility have? For example, one thing that's going to come up is should we have a second sheet of ice? The Pepsi Ice Center sells out ice. I mean, we don't have enough ice to go around. We're already open pretty much 18 hours a day, and it's booked 18 hours a day every single day. So could we use another sheet of ice? Yeah. Does it make sense to have another sheet of ice from an economic standpoint? Probably. But that's why we're doing this, is to vet it. Is there more need for turf, an indoor turf area, basketball courts or volleyball courts? We know Lincoln Leisure Center is not we don't believe it's going to be a long-term solution for us. So we need to plan for when Lincoln Leisure Center may not be available anymore. We had asbestos that shut it down for months. We could easily have things like that happen again and again.
Indoor turf, more ice, an indoor aquatic center maybe. This all sounds like opportunities for Bloomington and Normal to cooperate on a facility. Is that workable, do you think, in this community? Do you think something like that will ever happen? Will the two communities find a way to move forward together on shared costs and shared operation of something like this?
I hope so. I don't see them as competition. I see them as collaborators. And we need to extend the hand out more than we do. I'll be honest with that. The Parks Normal director is fairly new. I'm fairly new in my position. And I think we probably need to spend more time talking we do this really well. It's not a strength for them. They should stop doing it. We'll do it more. Things that we're doing, we're not great at, but they're doing it well. Then we should drop what we're doing. And that's part of the conversation. And I probably do need to reach out more with Normal and figure out how can we work together better.
And when we're talking about cooperation, I have to ask about soccer. Will soccer fields or a multi-sports complex be part of this conversation?
The sports complex is probably the most complicated one right now because there's a private group that obviously wants to build a sports complex. It is something that it's not the top priority for Bloomington right now. I can say that O'Neill, without a doubt, is our biggest issue we have right now. Do we need a sports complex in this community? Yes. Do I think that, personally, that Bloomington should pay for a sports complex that's in Normal? I have a little trouble with that. I think if we're going to spend that kind of money, then I think we should be major components of that and benefit completely from that, from our programs, let alone our citizens being able to use it. My son plays travel soccer, so I understand the need for more fields, especially if community fields goes away, which is still a pretty serious possibility. That's the most complicated one, probably of them all. Will it be discussed? Absolutely.
Tell me about the consultants Greenplay, the company, that organization that's facilitating the meetings and developing the plan.
Sure. They're a national company that this is what they do for a living. They do parks plan. They do park architecture, landscaping, things like that. They're based out of Colorado. There's actually six teams involved that have expertise of different things, and some of them are from Illinois. One is from Bloomington, parts of their team. Some focus on nothing but how to get public input, how to best get comments from the citizens so we understand the wants and needs of this community. They've been great to work with so far. We've had a few in-house meetings, and this week is the first time we'll be really going out into the community and saying, okay, what do you want? What do you need? What's important to you? What's not important to you? That's just as important.
After this series of meetings in July and August, early August, what's the rest of the process look like?
It will not be the end of public comment and public's opportunity. We will have surveys that will go out. That'll be available in many, many locations, mostly online, but we'll actually get the paper copies out as well. I first thought we would have these ready to go for this week, but they actually will shape the survey based on what they hear this week, which makes more sense to me. This is why I'm glad we hired an expert team, is they've been through this. They know this works, this doesn't work. So once we're done with this week, they will come back and put a survey together and this will be when we get all of our email blasts out, all of our Facebook, all of our website, and get everyone we know, get our aldermen engaged as well, and get them to rally up their wards and say, hey, this is what we want, this is what we need, this is what we don't want. Because that's just as important. If there's some things that we can stop doing that affect the least and maybe are high resource use, we're looking for things like that completely. Absolutely.
Okay. Jay Tetzloff is Bloomington's Director of Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Arts. Jay, thanks for your time on Sunday Deals.
Thanks for having me.